This week I was thinking back to high school a little bit, and I was thinking of calculus class specifically, something most of us would like to forget. I was a little bit of a nerd, so I enjoyed calculus class. And I was thinking back to some of the problems we used to do, and these problems would take up the whole chalkboard in front of the room, trying to get from the problem to the solution. Now I remember there were a couple of times where we would do these entire problems, and we'd get the right answer, but then we'd realize that the whole thing we'd done wrong. And it was just pure coincidence that the answer came out the same. I was thinking about that because I kind of think that's what's going on a little bit on Palm Sunday. The people are saying all these wonderful things about Jesus. Very few of them really understood who it was that Jesus actually was. I think Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is the beginning of a crash course in messiahship. What it means to be the Messiah, or to be the Christ, which literally means Messiah or Chosen One. Daryl Bach writes about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, and he says that this passage is a complex event. In sum, Jesus' entry is a major statement about God's plan and the nature of his kingship. It is a message some rejoice in, others do not understand, and still others emphatically reject. Palm Sunday is kind of this paradox, this complicated day that as we look at, there are all kinds of theories about what exactly is going on here. This morning, I just want to make three Palm Sunday observations as we learn about what it means to say that Jesus is the Christ or is the Messiah. And the first observation I want to make is that Jesus meets many of the people's expectations for what a Messiah would be. See, in Jerusalem, or among the Jews at this time, there were all kinds of ideas and systems that had developed for what they were expecting in this Messiah. And basically, to boil it all down, people were expecting three Messiahs or three dimensions to the Messiah. They were expecting a great prophet, a great priest, and a great king. And some thought there would be three, some two. It was all over the place. But what Jesus does on Palm Sunday, I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit, Palm Sunday is to fulfill all three of these things. As we look at the passage, the first thing that stands out is that Jesus is putting himself forward as a king. It says in verse 9, "The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" That term, Son of David, is a term for the king. David was a great king in Israel, and the people were expecting another great king like him. So to call Jesus the Son of David is to say, this is this great king that we were expecting. Then they enter the city, and it says the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet, Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." They're saying this is the great prophet we were expecting. And then Jesus' first order of business in verse 12 says, "Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple and overturned the tables and the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers.'" Who orders the temple? The priests do. And so in some ways, Jesus is fulfilling all of these expectations for what a Messiah is. More specifically, people were expecting that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Zechariah 9, we read earlier, is about this king who comes into the city riding a donkey or a colt. And Jesus comes in on that. And people say, look, there's the Messiah that we were expecting. We'd also expect the Messiah to have a huge following, and Jesus does. Jesus and his disciples were making this pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And this was a big deal. People would come from all over the land of Israel to come to Jerusalem for this week and celebrate the Passover together. And as Jesus and his disciples come and make this pilgrimage, they're joined by a number of followers on the way. Kind of picture it like Forrest Gump, you know, at the end of the movie. He decides to run from coast to coast, back and forth across the country. And as he runs and as people hear about him and see what he's doing, pretty soon there's this whole gang that's running right behind him, following him. That's kind of what happens to Jesus and his disciples. As they're coming to Jerusalem, he's healing and teaching, and these crowds gather around him so that when they reach Jerusalem, there is a huge crowd to wave their palms and put them on the road and say, Hosanna, this is the Messiah. And we would expect that of a Messiah. And finally, we would expect the Messiah to say that he is, to say exactly who he is. And that is what Jesus does on this Palm Sunday that we celebrate. Jesus is making an unequivocal claim that he is the Messiah. Everything Jesus does is making that very statement. And he knows it. Jesus has been keeping quiet about this up until now. But now he comes into Jerusalem and he wants people to know, I'm the one you're expecting. I'm the promised one. I'm the chosen one. I'm the king. I'm the one who can save you. The priests in the temple, the rulers, the Jewish leaders, it says when he got into the temple, the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that he did and heard the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. They became angry and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? They're saying, these people are calling you the Messiah. Can you believe that? Stop them from doing that. And Jesus says, yes. Have you never read out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself? Jesus says, yes, I am the Messiah. This whole passage is a barrage of Old Testament images from Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah that we read, from the Psalms, from 1 and 2 Kings. There is all kinds of imagery that is brought into this passage to say Jesus is the King. He is the Messiah. He does just enough so that people recognize him for who he is. He meets their expectations to a certain extent. Because the second observation I want to make is that as much as Jesus meets some of the people's expectations, he also shatters many of their expectations for what this Messiah would be. Jesus starts by saying, I'm not this conquering, powerful hero. I'm a humble Messiah. That's the point of Zechariah 9. See, sometimes we have this problem with prophecy too. We look at Revelation or we look at these prophecies of the Old Testament and we think they're giving us all these details. It's like God setting up a blind date. I'll be the one in the red shirt, you know. I'll be the one riding on the donkey. You know, that's not the point of Zechariah 9. The point of Zechariah 9 is to tell us the kind of Messiah that these people should expect. The donkey is a symbol not just of what Jesus will ride in on, his mode of transportation. It's a sign that this is a humble one. A humble Messiah, a humble king. He also shatters people's expectations when he brings judgment on the temple instead of on the Romans. That's, I think, what many people were expecting. They're expecting Jesus to come in and rule over these Roman oppressors and bring Jerusalem back to the top of the heap. They were expecting him to come to the temple. They were expecting him to purify the temple. But Jesus' message in doing that shatters their expectations. Look at what he says. It says, he overturned the tables of the money changers, the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You are making it a den of robbers. Now, there are all kinds of theories on why Jesus does this, but I think the best explanation is that the money changers and the selling of the doves and all of that was going on in the outer court of the temple, which is the court of Gentiles. This is the court where the Gentiles were supposed to be able to come in and worship the true God. And see through Israel and through the temple who the creator of the world was and be able to come to him and praise him and pray to him. And I think what Jesus is saying is you're missing the point. You guys are all waiting for me to conquer the Romans. I'm here to save the Romans. And he throws the people out of the temple and says, you are a barrier in the way of these people coming to know and to worship the true God. So many people were expecting the Messiah to come on behalf of the Jews against the Gentiles. And what Jesus does is he actually comes and defends the Gentiles against the Jews and many of their practices. Perhaps the most pointed way that Jesus shatters people's expectations is about a week later. He comes to save people, but not through conquering. He saves by dying on a cross. Again, the Jews were expecting the Messiah to come and conquer their enemies. Their enemies. Instead, Jesus comes and conquers humanity's enemies. Jew and Gentile, he takes on the problems and the issues of the whole world, not just a single people. So the people, there's some irony here. The people are saying, Hosanna, save us now. And Jesus is there to save them, but not just them. He's there to save the world. He's not there to be a quick fix for their circumstances, but He's there to do a deeper work within their hearts. Not just for some people, but as an invitation to all people. All of these things we've talked about during Lent are humanity's problems. Guilt, shame, worthlessness, loneliness, confusion. These are the things that we struggle with. Not just one group of people. These are the things that we all struggle with at one point or another. And that is what Jesus came to save us from. That's what He entered into Jerusalem for. In other words, Jesus is teaching us that He's not a top-down Messiah. He's a ground-up Messiah. He starts in our hearts, and only through us transforms the world. The last observation I'd like to make is that what Jesus does on Palm Sunday really leaves us with a choice. Are you committed to the Messiah that you think you want, or to the Messiah that Jesus is? We construct all kinds of messiahs. We think, if I could just be saved from this or that, I could have the life I want. And whoever is willing to come in and save us from those things, whether they be poverty or depression or inconvenience or disease, whoever can come in and fix that thing that I want fixed is like my Messiah. That's where my hope is. That's what I'm looking for. We construct messiahs to give us what we want. Just like the Jews were saying, if I could just be saved from the Romans, we could have the life we want. That's what we do. We construct messiahs to get us the money we think we need, to give us technology to make life more convenient or efficient. We want doctors to heal us, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things. I'm for healing. I'm for efficiency in many cases, and jobs and things that can make money so we can live off of them. But they're not messiahs. They cannot ultimately save us. There are many people who are quick to step into that void and say, come in with fanfare announcing that they will change your life. They will fix your problems. They will meet all of your needs. They will make your dreams come true. But they're all too small. They're not taking into account your whole life or eternity or your deepest needs or what the world truly needs. The Messiah that Jesus is the kind of Messiah who enters into history not with fanfare and great announcement, but humbly riding on a donkey, not flaunting His power, but emphasizing His love. The kind of Messiah Jesus is the kind of Messiah who doesn't play political games of flattery or coercion, but simply tells us the truth and invites us into His kingdom. Jesus is the kind of Messiah who's not just interested in part of our lives or fixing part of our problems, but who wants to come in and move into our whole lives, transform us, make our whole selves something new and different. He's the kind of Messiah who rejects the quick fix in favor of deep and lasting transformation. He's the kind of Messiah who begins this process like a little mustard seed planted in the ground. One man dying on a cross in one city of the world. And allows that kingdom and that work to bloom as it reaches out and out and out, and now has bloomed in countries and nations almost all around the world of people who have become a part of God's kingdom and are transforming the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not the kind of Messiah that we would have come up with, but He's the kind of Messiah that we need. And Holy Week brings us to a choice. Are we going to settle and look for the Messiahs that we've constructed? Or are we going to move and give our lives to the Messiah that Jesus is? Choosing the Messiah that Jesus is means giving up all of our other messiahs. All our other reasons for hope, including ourselves. Saying that no one or no thing can give me the life I was created to live other than Jesus, the true Messiah. It means starting where Jesus started, this process of transformation, on the cross. As we've come throughout Lent, we've brought ourselves to the cross and seen where to start. It means following where Jesus goes, living a life of humility and grace, speaking the truth boldly but in love for other people. And it means trusting that the way that Jesus is the Messiah, the way that Jesus brings salvation to us and to the world, is also the way that we can bring hope and transformation and peace and this message of God's grace to the world. It's one thing to say the right words, to have the right answers on Palm Sunday and on Good Friday and on Easter. It's another thing to really allow Jesus the Messiah to transform our lives from inside out. That's our choice. Let's pray. Mighty God, we thank you that you have entered into this world in a humble way, a way full of love and grace. Lord, I pray that we would see you for who you are and receive you just as you are. Lord, help us to see all of our false messiahs for what they are and turn to you, receive the forgiveness, the mercy, the freedom, the love, the presence, and the direction that you have to give us. Help us to be your children as we resemble our Father and our Savior more and more each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.